Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needle workers.
Oh, no stabbing or art today.
Huh? No stabbing art. Needle workers. I think we're going to form a union. The Needle Workers of America, AFL-CIO. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get tied right in with the auto workers. That's how we'll do it.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, no.
See how our spouses think about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're really working there.
tonight on the Stitch Hour, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the YouTube channel, Jennifer is going to show us how to finish a biscornu. Is that how you say it?
That is how you say it, biscornu.
Look at me. So she finished one, a design by Kitty and Me Designs, Pamela at Kitty and Me Designs. Jennifer just finished one, and she's going to finish stitching it. So she's going to finish it into an actual biscornu on the show. So we'll get to see how that's done.
Oh, that's great fun.
I think so. I don't know how much she had to clean out her sewing room to do it, but I'll ask her.
Yeah, definitely ask, because that inquiring minds want to know.
Yes. Yep. So that'll be tonight. So join us 8 o'clock. And we'll see Jennifer make a biscornu.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Also, remember, the Spring Hill Stitch Along is ongoing, as are the... What's that?
Have you started yours?
As I said, the Spring Hill Stitch Along is ongoing. And, you know, some of us have our threads and cloth ready to go, and some have actually stitched. And... Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I'm just curious to see if you'd put needle to thread, but and thread to fabric, but that's
all right. That was your lawyer routine where you ask a question to which you already know the answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
I kind of had hoped you'd, you know, but I guess not.
No further along than I was on January 1. No.
Okay.
I thought about it a lot, but so anyway, and I'll give my justification in a moment. But wetalkfiber.com/springhill will get you to the needle in a haystack page, and you can order a kit, because if you order a kit and put one stitch in, you're ahead of me. So
yes.
Yeah. Wait, speaking of that, how far along are you?
Same I was last week. I haven't stitched on it yet this week.
All right. Let's take you down off your high horse. Okay.
I think I've got a few letters in.
Oh, okay. Well, it's all right. Never mind.
Sorry.
Jennifer's got a whole band across
rolling.
The middle. And jeez.
I know. I was just like, that's not fair.
I know. Jeez.
And the colors are gorgeous. I it's sitting like I can see it out of the corner of my eye while I'm stitching, and I'm like, I just want to pull that out.
Yep.
Just the threads, the 100/3 on that 45 count are wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
I guess I want to see how you like stitching. What count are you using? Is it 40?
40 count, yeah. 40
Do you
count.
Know what linen?
Is it Newcastle?
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's right, Newcastle. With Soie d'Alger.
Oh, nice French.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm very continental. everything's ready to go. But I've just been so focused on Hannah Longstreth. I'm down now. I'm almost done. I'm on the bottom row, and I'm almost done with the first motif on the right. I'll finish that up tonight. So then four more motifs to go. And I mean, I'm just locked in. You can see, you know how, when you can see the end.
Yes. But are you getting tired of making X's on Hannah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll admit it. It's a I'm of two minds kind of thing. Like, I'm all right, enough X's on 40 count linen, just enough.
Yes.
But I see the end over there, you know?
Right.
And it's just, yeah, but oh yeah, I need to do some needlepoint in a bad way.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But I can't, you know, I just can't. Yeah, I gotta finish it. I just gotta finish it. So.
Okay, and I know you're not normally a project person. You're normally the process, the
Right.
enjoyment of the colors, the enjoyment of watching the motif come out. And I like that too. But some when you're I'm on a piece, I'm working on Pretty Little Baby with by Satsuma Street, and it's a baby sampler gift. And
Oh,
it's so I'm like, I am bound and determined to get this done before I do anything else.
Yeah.
And I am so close, but I am so tired of making little X's on 40
Yep.
counts. And I'm using Cosmos thread on that. 37 count Russian tea cake and Cosmos thread from Sassy Jack's. And I am telling you, that is wonderful thread and linen, both, both.
Yeah, but isn't that nice thread?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I might need the whole line of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
It
it tempts you,
it's
doesn't it? It tempts you. Yeah, you wouldn't mind just having a drawer full of every color of that. Yep.
Yes. It I'm having less problems with fuzziness on the thread. It keeps its twist. I tend to untwist my threads when I stitch. I know I do that, and so I always am kind of trying to watch that. But they're just nice. They're
Yeah.
just nice.
Yep. I agree. I agree. I have to write to Kim. You gotta write to
Yeah.
Kim and say, "Hey Kim, how much for the whole set?"
Yeah. And maybe instead of, you don't want to buy it all at once, but maybe she could keep like a floss club where you get like 5 a month or 10 a month and then slowly accumulate them all.
Yeah. But no, that'd be a good collection to have.
Yes.
It's very nice thread. The colors are rich. Yeah. I am with you 100%. Yep. I think I'll write to Kim.
All
See
right.
what it would what it would cost for the set. $500. No. Yeah, she's going through quite a transition now. She's online only. Well, she had the little clip in the Sunday podcast, but online only because she's in the spring going to open up in the house.
Yes.
That's going to be great for her.
What's it called? The Baird House? Is
Baird or Blair? I'm not sure. Baird, I
Blair.
think. Blair?
Well, I don't
Yeah,
know.
I don't know.
Now we're going to outguess each other.
It starts with
But
BL. It starts with BL, so whatever.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
That's pretty exciting.
last time I talked to her about that, it was the shop. She'd ha would have the shop in the house, and then she was going to have two or three bedrooms upstairs that teachers could stay in, guests, so they'd be able to stay there. And then they were going to build a building in the back for classes. Now, where they're at on that, I don't know. But if they're moving to it, I assume that they're well on their way to that. But apparently, you know, it's a historic house, and apparently everybody in town knows of where it is and what it is. And yeah, I mean, it's to me, a needlework shop in an old house
Yeah,
is cool. Yeah.
it is. Yeah,
So.
and that's got to be. I just can't imagine. Well, she started a kind of a floss tube, with Susan Greening Davis, and they kind of talked a little bit about what it's going to take to move them over. And I can't imagine moving a shop.
No.
I mean, I just really can't. I mean, all the threads,
Yep.
all the linens. All the charts.
Yep.
Oh,
No, yeah, I can't either. And that's the thing,
no.
it's you can't just throw stuff in a box.
Mm-mm.
You know, all your threads, you got to make sure they don't get all mixed up, or you'll spend hours getting them sorted again. You got to make sure everything stays clean. All your charts, don't get the corners bent. Yeah. Ugh.
Right.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
I do not
But
envy
it'll be
that.
no, but it'll be so nice for her, especially if she's got a classroom. That the classroom that she had before looked nice. Now I've never been there. I know you have,
Yeah,
but
she
I've
had
never
a
been there.
yeah, she that upstairs classroom was exceptional. It was huge, with a lot of light, which is daylight, which is, is big on top of they had put in a bunch of good light. No, it was a very nice place, and there were bathrooms upstairs, restrooms upstairs, and no, it was very nice. So, but if she's able to build her own classroom, then of course you can, if you do it from scratch, you've got just that much better. So,
Right.
yeah, I'm sure she's going to end up much happier in a much better place all the way around.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Good for
That'll be
her.
really nice.
Yeah. And it's been a long time coming too. She's been wanting to do that, so that'll be great. Yeah. Do I get tired of making X's? Yeah. Yeah.
So have you already started planning? I know we have Spring Hill, but that's also little X's.
Right.
So are you planning what you're going to pull out for your needlepoint, or are you just going to wait, and if when you get Hannah done, then you'll decide?
Sure. Sure. Well,
Don't
see,
plan ahead?
I want to work on, I want to get going on Spring Hill, because when Jennifer and I talked about that, we talked about doing that 2 hours a week. Well, I'm 6 hours behind. So I want to do that and kind of try to stay on that track. But I need to get started on it. But see, it's, Royal Garden's sitting there on the floor, all wrapped in plastic. Dawn to Dusk is ready to go. And oh man, every time I see somebody do that Dawn to Dusk, and then Karen Duszynski did the colorway she did for me. Oh man, it's so beautiful. And so I want to do
Beautiful.
that. So yeah, there's plenty of options. One, the other, or both.
Oh, and I've just I told myself I wasn't going to start another needlepoint project, that I was going to pull up Royal Garden because that's the furthest along. But it's such a big piece physically that like if I'm on a Zoom meeting, it's hard for me, it would be hard for me to stitch on that. So I have this urge to pull out like a Gay-Ann Rogers heart.
Well, see, that's the other thing that I got away from was, we started on those hearts, and
Right.
then that just kind of got shoved to the side, and I was well along on that one. You finished the first one, right?
Right.
And those are
I
nice
mean,
little projects.
they are. And the nice thing about those is the you've got all that tent stitch to put in, basically. And then you can put something on top. Which is it's which is great if you're having a Zoom meeting. If you get the outline in, you just kind of go to town. You're just
Mindless.
like, ooh, yeah. And that's fun.
So that, that comes to mind too, 'cause those are really cool.
I forgot. I forgot about those.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I mean, they're in the back of my head that I have them, but it's like, yeah,
Too
gonna
many.
go there.
Too
Too
many.
many. Too many.
But it's interesting. Okay, so coming up Sunday's show is a conversation Beth and I had with Jennifer Clouston from Australia.
She
That,
was excellent.
oh, and she's a crazy quilter. Embroidery and crazy quilting, has done two books, with a third one coming on embroidery, flower embroidery. The other two are on crazy quilting. So we set out in that conversation to talk about crazy quilting and then embroidery. And of course, how she got there, and she moved from Africa to Australia, that influence. So it's interesting.
Right.
But then we got into a conversation at the end that will not leave my head, talking about basically being creative, trying things, and What does she call that? Where you
It wasn't meditative stitching. It was like
random
stream of conscious
there,
stitching.
yep, stream of consciousness stitching. And that has stuck with me, where she talks about just sitting down with no plan, no nothing, and just start to stitch. And like one day you might do chain stitch in a circle, or you might do satin stitch, or in blocks, or whatever. You don't know, you just have a piece of cloth, and color doesn't matter. You don't want color to matter. And you just stitch and see what happens. And you that, and then you look at Ariane Zurcher, the conversation we had with her, where it's very free form embroidery. And it really has you talk about next projects. And I've got so many surface embroidery things that I'd like to do, try. A lot of them try, but some do, but try because I don't have that a skill level to match that. And you say, what's next? What I came away from that conversation with was getting out my travel, since I'm not traveling, getting out my fanny hoop thing. And just getting a piece of embroidery cloth and putting it in that hoop and sitting down in the recliner with TV on and just do stream of consciousness stitching and just develop skill.
And I think there's, I think there's value in that. Just and setting a timer because, maybe you don't want to spend all night just stitching on doing
Right.
random stitches, but set a timer for 15, 20 minutes and you just practice, your stitches. It's basically a doodle cloth is what it is.
Yeah.
But I've been asking you if you were going to do something called the 100-day project.
Yep.
And to me, the 100-day project kind of goes along with that. The idea behind it is to push yourself forward in some sort of creative manner. Although, or actually, it's any push yourself, work on a project for 100 days is, and to
Yeah.
better yourself or whatever. Because some people do 100 days of burpees, which I think is craziness. Who would want to do that?
Yeah, that's a little
But
warped. Yeah, we can't be doing that healthy stuff. No. No.
No, that would be insane. Who would want to do that? But that, I think that stream of consciousness stitching would be a perfect 100-day project because you say, okay, I'm going to set a timer. I'm going to do this for 15. Everybody has 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You set up a hoop and you really don't need anything fancy, even for fabric. I think you could even just use quilter's cotton.
Right. Yeah.
And just go to town.
An old
Practice your French knot.
pillowcase,
Yeah.
whatever. Yeah.
Right. Practice your French knots. Practice the chain stitch,
Yep.
satin stitch, whatever.
And see that, so that, yeah, you take the 100-day project and then you look at it. At that, where it's you, there's no absolutely no pressure because there's nothing to do. I mean, there's not you don't have to count over three and up two. You don't have to make a Jessica unless you want to, unless you're really warped and want to. But you can just sit there because I'll take for instance when we got done with Jennifer recording with Jennifer because Australia, so that meant we had to do it in the evening, so it'd be morning for her. Then I get done, get all the computers shut down and everything put away, and it was, I don't know, 9 o'clock in the evening or so. And I went downstairs and I did a few stitches on Hannah Longstreth, but I also wanted to just sit in the recliner and just take a minute. And I did, and then I got up and did a little stitching, and then it was time to go to bed. And what was in my head was, that would have been sitting in the recliner would have been a perfect time for a half hour of just stream of consciousness stitching. And if nothing more than a stem stitch around and around for a couple times and then reverse and go back the other way just to see how it worked. And
Yes. And I've done similar things. It's at one time someone gave me a piece of cloth and it had she dyed circles on it. And so I went and on each of those circles, I practiced a stitch. And just to see what it looked like. Now, not all of them did I like. I didn't like how they all turned out, but that's okay. I wasn't going to do anything with it. It was just to play with those stitches on something that someone else was going to turn into a dust rag. So there's value in just playing with the stitches. And for me, I'm bouncing around with what am I going to do for the 100-day project. I have this art quilt that I really would like to work on, but it's got a lot of repetitive same stitches that I need to put on it. And I need to do a few things to it to make it be a good final project. So it would be a good project. It would be okay. Then my kids would like me to stitch some things that's more surface embroidery. And so I've been kind of bouncing in my head to do more surface embroidery, like what we did with the Avlia kit, the Octo Cafe piece, because I found that wonderful. That was so much fun to do. I could take it with me. It was a perfect carry along piece. Yeah, and so it gave me a project at the end, which I like having something finished at the end of my stitching time. But it was kind of mindless. It was the simple stitches for me. It was nothing very complicated. I just used DMC th it was just DMC thread.
And that's just it. Yeah, you don't have to go out and buy a bunch of thread.
Right.
You just grab what you have.
Grab what you
And
have.
And that was because Mary Corbett is doing a piece right now, and it's an Italian designer, and I have her book, and now the name of it just went out of my head,
Yeah,
but
and
it's
it's
an
something about the sea. Something about the sea.
ocean-oriented alphabet, beautiful designs, beautiful. And Mary is doing a big M, and of course it's Mary Corbett, so it's stunning. But when that popped up, that reminded me I have that book, and I really like the designs in there. So then we were talking to Jennifer. That was the first thing that popped into my head. Okay, I should get a piece of cloth and just start working on some of those little elements.
Yes.
And so then when you say 100-day project, okay, the best chance I have of a 100-day project having coming anywhere close is to do no more than 15 minutes. Find 15 minutes in the day to do that. So that's something that's set up, ready to go. Just sit down, do it for 15 minutes and out.
Right.
And so then I'm thinking, all right, what if I do that? I want to develop some or improve what few surface embroidery skills I have. So take, for instance, like the M that Mary's doing. It's these swooping lines that from narrow to fat to narrow again, and on a curve. And satin stitch, but do that from narrow to fat to narrow on a curve and have it look good.
Right. That's
Yeah.
hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're Mary
And
Corbett, it's
shading.
hard. Right.
And shading while
Right.
you go.
So there, so there it is. Do that. And just don't set out to do the project. Like, don't sit down and draw the whole thing out on cloth and say, all right, I'm going to do this project. Don't, not even close. But take like well, I'll just use the M because that's what Mary's stitching. Just take one leg of the M and draw that, and then stitch it, and just develop that skill. you know?
Right. See, and for me, see, if I need, I know I need a project at the end. If I'm just doing something, last year that's I did 100 Days of Hearts, and it didn't have an end, but I did have a little heart that I did stitching on. I learned a whole lot doing it. That piece is living in my basement. It's probably never going to see the light of day again, because it came out really ugly. But I learned a lot. I learned a whole lot stitching that piece. And I know I need something with more of a, that is a little bit more planned, that I would be really frustrated if I did something too random, because that's what I did last year with the 100 Days of Hearts. I was just pulling fabric out, making a heart shape, and stitching it down. And that was just way too random. It just didn't come out right. I need a little bit more constraint on my color palette. What am I going to use for stitches? Kind of, so it makes it a more unified whole.
So for you, see, and that's the difference between you and me, is you have to have an end product to come out of it. I don't care.
Yeah. Yes. And even though I don't mind that I didn't have an end product when I came out of it, I was not happy with it. I almost gave up on it. And so, but I learned that because my friend Cheryl was encouraging me. She said, "Oh," I said, because she was had done a project like that where she just randomly pulled fabric out and stitched it. And she said, "I liked doing it, and I didn't care that it was very random." Well, I guess for me, I did care. I cared. It just didn't work for me.
You
It's like,
discovered that you do care, yeah.
I do care. I do care.
But see,
So,
that's, you know, that's just it. The different people. You have to have a finish line. And you have to be able to hold something up when you're done. And I like a finish line, but I don't really care. It's the process of doing it that I enjoy, and the rest, you know, whether it gets done or not is just not, yeah.
Right. And I don't care if it's fully finished. That doesn't, I mean, I have a lot of projects that are stitched, that are not framed, not done anything with, they just live downstairs. But they're finished. They're done. Or I'm done with them.
That's going to be a Wednesday night show. We're going to
What?
Beth's basement.
Oh, no, you're not allowed in my basement. I did a quick Zoom once, and my friend was like, "Slow down, slow down." It's like, "No, we're going through here fast."
We're going to where the real stash is.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, so that's so the so you got me, given that conversation with Jennifer, and then you're bringing up the 100-day thing. See, I start to see it, because when you first brought it up, I was like, no, Beth, no, I am not. I'll never do it. I'll be 4 days in, and I'll miss 3 days, and then it won't happen.
Right.
But with a different approach, I can see myself having success and getting something out of it.
Right. And I think that's the point behind, I resisted for years to do the 100-day project. I was like, "No, I can't. There's no way I can't stick with something for 100 days. There's no way I'm going to do 100 days." But the first year I did it, it was mainly a challenge to post something every day. That was that was really my what I was trying to do, and I stitched on something because I already stitch every day, so that's not a challenge. So yeah, my problem with this year is kind of refining it so I can, so it does push me forward artistically. I feel like if I was just saying, okay, I'm gonna stitch on Spring Hill every day for 100 days, that's not gonna really be a challenge.
That doesn't
That's
move
not
the
gonna
needle at
be.
all.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Whereas maybe working on taking a line drawing and making a surface design that my kids will hang in their house, that would be a challenge.
Well, see, and that for you have so many things stitching and stitching related that you do, dyeing and those cutting those stamp things, and You have so many things that you have a pretty good pantry of things to draw from for this kind of a thing. All of which could, done a little bit for over 100 days would help move forward, help you move forward.
And that's, using those things too in a unified way. And actually just and using them using the skills I already have, and trying to focus them in a little bit more. That might be what I'm aiming for this year. But now I got to think of a hashtag and all that good stuff too. Yuck.
Yeah. For those who are interested, the website is the 100, the number 100, the 100dayproject.org. You have to have the in there. So the 100dayproject.org is the deal there. Is there for that, is there a general hashtag, or do you make up your own, or how does that work?
I think there is that general hashtag, the 100-day project. And
Okay.
then there's one that's called the 100-day days of stitching, which is a subgroup it. But yeah, it's and then you're supposed to make up your own hashtag. So
Okay. All right, so all right, so then let's talk, all right, so we talk about that in terms of setting up some parameters that will allow each of us to move the needle and accomplish it in 100 days, do something in 100 days that isn't so overwhelming that you burn out. But then you had mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago, you had just a text about bullet journaling. And so then to me that then comes into the picture in terms of documenting that. Do you take, obviously you take pictures and post them, but then do you put them in some kind of a journal so that you have a reference thing?
I have done that. I keep several notebooks. The one for my stitching, I make a calendar with 100 days, with little squares. And then I mark on that what I've done for that day. Because it's really easy to forget what day you're on. Like, are you in day 65 or 75? And that gives you a running calendar for one thing, and I find that helpful. I like it on a paper form. But also it gives you later when you go back and you can look and say, okay, well, so what did I do on that day? And I've so you can do a bullet journal where and for those who don't know, I'm there, you can look that up. Bullet journaling is all over the place. And I've done it where I've made a little just a little square to fill in. Did I do the 100-day project that day? And I would, but I found I never filled in those little squares. I would, it's like I couldn't, I thought I would like to because I do like making lists and I do like checking things off. But to go back to that page where I had made my original list, I was like, ah, I'm not, I just don't do that. So I keep like a, I have a stencil that makes like a calendar squares, and then I fill in those little squares with like what I've done. Or if I did anything, or when I posted, or whatever I find pertinent. But yeah, I like to keep a, I like to keep a journal of that. And I like to keep a journal of what I'm stitching on. If I'm working on, so every year I keep like a running list of what I stitched that year. And
My.
yes.
I'm impressed.
So like and I'll mark it's in a notebook that I've written a number on each of the pages. So let's say page 25 is Gay Ann Rogers Hearts, would be like, and I would write down on there, I started Amber Waves on such and such date. Oh, I filled in all the stitches on such and such date. And then when I finished it, and if it, like right now, it's not fully finished, but when I get to that point, when it's fully finished, I'll go back to that page and say, okay, it's been fully finished, and this is the date I did that. So I do that with, like Spring Hill has its own page. That's another big one that I'm working on. I don't know any of my, any, especially big projects. Like if they're a Mill Hill bead kit, I'll just write when I started it and when I finished it.
Okay.
And if I have an image of it, I'll glue that into that notebook.
So this is
To
kind
keep.
of a scrapbook of your stitching.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And
Okay.
I like to know, and then I, and any pertinent information, like if it's a linen, what linen I'm using, if I've changed the threads, I will make note of that in that notebook. So let's say you've started something, but you have put it away for a few years and you're coming back to it.
Right.
You, I have all those notes there.
Yeah. And see, I've already screwed that up because on Hannah Longstreth,
Yes.
I don't remember what the linen is. And I have, Kim at Sassy Jacks has these peel off sticker things that you can put on the back of your framed piece where you can
Yes,
fill
aren't
in
those,
all. What's that?
nice?
Yeah. So you can fill in all that information. And I've got three or four of them. And I tripped over them the other day and I thought, oh, I need to save one to put on the back of Hannah Longstreth. And I looked at the information. I thought, yeah, oh, geez, I don't know what the linen is, you know? And I'll be able to figure it out. But then, see, so you have that all written down so that there's no question.
Right,
Yeah.
right. I try to. I try to remember to do that.
Yeah.
I don't always, but it's nice to go back to. It's nice to have that information. If someone asked you or asked, how long did it take you? When did you start that piece? I'm like, well, I started it back in 2000, and it's been living there since.
Yep. When did you start the piece? Yeah.
I don't know.
How many are? Because yeah, there's some people who actually keep track of their hours. Like, no way, that just demoralized me.
No, and I'm a slow stitcher, and I'm not, I don't count my stitches. I
Yeah,
don't
no.
count my hours. I thought I would like to, and I tried it for a very short while, and then I was like, no, this is not fun. I keep a general track. So like for Spring Hill, I have done 4 hours. So I know I owe 2 hours, or do I owe more than that now? If I owe,
Think you owe
anyway,
two, yeah.
I owe two. I owe two. Still only owe two. So I will, I kind of keep a general track of that,
Yeah.
but
Yeah. No, I would never do that. No, never.
but keeping some sort of log for me is helpful because I do like to go back and look. How much stitching did I get done last year? What did I work on? And a friend and I were discussing this, because she said she finished a lot of older whips last year, a lot of things that had been lingering. And I looked back and I only finished things that were brand new. I said, like, and so far this year, the only thing older that I've worked on is Anya's Day. Everything else is a new start.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, ooh, this does not bode well for other
No.
stuff living in my basement.
No. We gotta have a tour. We gotta have a tour.
No, no way. No way. No tours.
And back in 1955, you aren't even close to that old.
I'm not that old.
Back in
I'm not that old.
1979, I started this one.
Well, I have been stitching that long, but I don't think I was stitching then.
Yeah. Okay. So we
So,
gotta we'll get into the 90s for you, but. Yeah,
yeah, in the
plus that would
90s.
be demoralizing to you. Yeah. Oh man. I started this and it's still here. Yeah.
Have a couple of those. I have a couple of those.
Yeah.
And 1 year I did do on my blog, I pulled out every single whip I could find and I listed it.
Ooh.
And someone was t told me she was very disgusted
That's
about
a
my
come to
whips.
Jesus moment right there, listing all of them. Oh man.
Oh yeah, that was, it was like, oh, that was bad.
Yeah, don't ever do that.
Not doing that again.
No.
And
No.
it was like a month later, I was like, oh, I didn't list this one. Oh
Oh
well.
no. Oh, so you didn't, it wasn't even comprehensive then. Oh man.
No, no,
Oh.
no.
Oh. Yeah, that don't do that. Don't do that. No. That's not good. Nope.
No. Or list all the things in your stash. Those people who keep spreadsheets of what's in their stash. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
But see, that's, you know, that's a okay, if you're that's a there's a good side to that because it prevents you from buying duplicates.
Well, I was cleaning out my stash at one point, and I found three of one kit.
No kits.
It was not a kit. It was a three of one pattern. I had one kit and then two extra patterns. How I got three of them, I do not know. And I had a friend who has said, "Oh, when you're done with that, I don't know, it was out of print or something." She said, "You know, can I have it?" And I was like, so I said, "I have three. You may have one."
Yeah, which of the
Absolutely, you
three
can't.
would you like?
Except the one that's kitted. You can't have that
Yeah.
one.
Oh man.
that
Yeah.
was that was. I don't do that very often, and I was very surprised about that. That was just like, oh, how could I do that?
Yeah, what's wrong with me here? Yeah. Now, I can assure you that I do not have duplicate patterns of anything. But I can also assure you that I probably have more duplicate skeins of thread than I want to know about. Yeah.
And that's the thing I keep thinking I really need to figure out how to organize that.
And see, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
One, to get it organized and know what you have, but then to keep it organized.
Right.
Ooh, that's a lot of work. Because that means when you're done with a project, you're putting everything back where it belongs. Yeah, no. No.
Well, and but then okay, and here's my issue. I tend to buy kits, especially for needlepoint. You have all these threads, you have partial skeins of them. What do you do
Yeah.
with those partial skeins?
Yep.
And it's a mess. I mean, because they're out of their, like if they're like a pearl cottony type. They're out of their little sleeve or whatever, and like you have to leave them in their bag. Well,
Yep.
that's bulky.
Yep. Yeah, and there you are, right?
There I am.
Yeah.
And then will you really ever, I often wonder, will I ever really use this thread again? And I ha but I have used them. So I'm like, okay, I guess I can't just say, okay, I'm just going to throw them away because that seems wasteful.
Oh no, you can't do that. But see, that's where working on creativity to me comes in.
Yes.
Is no, don't go buy new threads. Haul out all that stuff, lay it out, and say, all right, I want to do this. Can I do it with these threads?
Yes.
How do I pull that off? Yeah.
And I think that's why I need to reorganize mine. I think I need to reorganize mine by color. Right now they're by like Pearl Cotton or Rainbow Gallery or Krynek. That's how they're organized. And if I'm pulling something creative, I don't pull threads that way. I pull by color. But I don't want to go and organize those threads. That would be a horrible
Oh
project.
man. Oh, there's your 100-day project right there.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, hashtag that puppy.
I just don't want to do it. I just
Right.
don't want to do it. Oh,
Yeah, 'cause
that would be the
that's oh man, yeah. Yeah,
I
greens.
mean,
Haul out the
yeah.
greens. All right, now how am I going to organize greens? Yeah.
Right. Or for me, the color I have the most, which is reds. The reds or purples. Those are the two colors I have, probably have the most of.
Yeah, I don't even know how you go to organize those so that when you come back, you can go right to light reds and pinks that aren't metallic and aren't silk, you know. Yeah.
But maybe it would be better if you put all of them, even no matter what type of thread they were, all together, because then I truly do. If I'm changing a color, if I'm changing a kit, I will go to the color first and then pull that weight out. Does that make sense? So, like, if you were
Yeah.
changing Royal Gardens to reds, it'd be nice if all those red threads were together because you'd say, okay, yeah, I'm going to change. This is the same weight. This is the same type. It might be worth the work.
So you could literally just do container store boxes with lids and just take all your reds and just throw them in a box. And then I need a red, dump the box out. There it is right there. Off you go. Yeah.
And for me, that might be a way to organize my threads.
Yeah. You'd at least have something.
And right now they are organized by company, but I hate going through looking for a thread
Yeah.
that way,
And
unless
see,
I know
yeah.
exactly what it is
Yeah, and see
and I
my
know
those
exactly
of
what it
mine
is.
that are organized, DMCs are in boxes numbered on bobbins and all in order. So that's easy. But all the other threads are in drawers. Like Rainbow Gallery has a drawer and Pearl Cottons have a drawer and the silks, there's a drawer for silks. But to go to that drawer of Rainbow Gallery and say, I need this. You gotta be kidding me. You know, that's just a pile of a mess of a pile. And there's no organization to it. So, you know, yeah, I could paw through that drawer, but I have no way of knowing if I need an orange, you know, I have no way. It's just, yeah.
And that's why I'm thinking for me, it just depends. And I'm thinking about go I stopped bobbinating those DMCs because I didn't like it, kind of puts a little kink in them.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. So I said, I'm going to stop doing that. Well, you know what? Now I can't find them. If I want a color, I put them in bags. In plastic bags by their numbers, right?
Yep.
So, like, but then you have to search through all those bags.
Right.
And I'm thinking, I need to go back to bobbinating. It's much because the first place I look is the ones that are bobbinated.
Because it's easy, it's cataloged. Yeah. Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I like about them. Yeah. I've never, that crease has never bothered me. But then when I bobbinate them, I don't wrap them tight. I wrap them real loose. So I don't get a hard crease. There's still a bend, but it's, you know, a few stitches and it's gone. But yeah, I'm pretty loose when I wrap those things. But yeah, they're all lined up, all in order by number. And I have the DMC thread chart thing, so I have that as a reference. And I used to keep there's a couple of apps for DMC thread that you can put on your phone. And I used to keep that up to date, where you know I have a this skein and this skein and this skein, or I have three of these and two of these, and then you can what the one I have has a shopping list, so you can say. You know, these are the ones next time I'm in a store, these are the ones I need to buy. But again, you have to keep that up. And so I would buy a kit. Now, if I did it right, if you buy a kit for something, then I would go into that app and I would catalog all those skeins. But you don't. And then you come along and now you're buying duplicates. Or I'll steal from one kit because I need something for another one. And then I come to that kit. Wait a minute, I thought I had a full. Oh, yeah, that's right. I borrowed from that and I didn't write it down. And And
Okay, so are you, what about Cosmos? Would you consider abominate those and just put them in their own separate little?
yeah, I think I would. If I were to buy the whole set, I think that I would do that. Yeah, I would do just like I do DMC, then I would know everything I have. Yeah.
Yeah, and I do think I'm gonna go back and start bobinating them, because right now it is, they take up too much space too when they're in the skeins,
Yeah.
in the bags. It does it, it in the bobinated, at least it's a little bit more contained.
Yeah. And see, and the purists will say, well, the skeins are, you can pull from them and keep the labels on there. Well, that's all well and good. But then when you have extras, so you pull a length out and you use two strands and you have four strands. Now, what do you do with those? Well, I'll wrap them around it. Oh, geez. You know, so then, yeah, that out come the floss away bags and it just goes in there. Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing, and I don't, it's like, or cheapy snack bags, which works the same.
Yeah.
But then what do you do? Okay, now I have rings of threads
Right.
in bags.
Right.
I'm like, oh, you finish something, and I'm like, okay, now what do I do with this ring of stuff? Because
Right.
it those take up a ton more space than if they're bobbinated or not in those bags or
Yeah.
just on a card.
And that's the whole thing with samplers. Is yeah, you get these big rings of, you know, I've got how many rings do I have of silk? One for each sampler. Okay, now at some point when Hannah Longstreth is finished, I'm going to have a ring full of silk, MPI silk, because she's not, you know, there's only one color that I'm using multiple skeins on. The rest, it's barely going to touch the skeins. So now I'll have a whole boatload of those. What do I do with those?
And you cut them. Now, I don't normally cut my skeins. Like, you cut them and put them on those rings, correct?
Right, on thread drops. Yeah, for
Thread
samplers,
drops.
I do. For needlepoint, no, never.
Right. But okay, now so you have, now what are you going to do with all those thread drops with
I
colors
know.
on them?
Exactly. So do I put them all in floss away bags? What do I do with those? Do I get an even bigger ring and put them on there in order? And then how do you store that?
Right.
Because I'm
I
a
don't. I
firm
don't know.
I'm a firm believer if you're going to store threads, you cover them up.
Right.
You don't hang, I don't like hanging them on a wall where the light and the dust can get to them, so I cover them up. So how do you store that? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know either. And I don't have an easy answer for that. And then you can't just lay them in a box
No.
because they will get tangled.
Right.
I wonder though, okay, I'm just thinking out loud. What if you put them on like a hanger, like a suit hanger, something that has clips, or
Yeah.
something you could, you could clip them on a hanger and then cover that with a bag and
And you
hang it
could,
in a
yeah.
closet.
And you could do that, yeah. Right now, I don't have a closet to hang them in, though. You know, and some people will put them on some kind of a thing and do it in a filing cabinet drawer. Well, then, all right, now I got to have a filing cabinet drawer, or some kind of a box, you know.
And for me, because I'm a lover of many techniques, I have many types of threads. Like Ariane Zurcher, she was going through and talking about all the threads she's using. I have a lot of different weights of threads. That's the problem. How do you store
Right.
all these threads?
And you know, and store, you know, storing them, just putting them away so they stay clean and safe and dry is a big deal. But storing them functionally so that you actually can use them down the road is that's the challenge. Yeah. Yeah. And then it's not easy. And but you see that question come up time and again. People ask, how do you store stuff? And a lot of times it's like, oh, really? Again, put them in a floss away bag. But I think for a lot of people, that's not the question. I think the question is what we're talking about. how do I put them away so that I can actually find them, know what I have, and use them in the future? And that's not an easy nut to crack.
Right. And again, I think it depends on how you use your threads. I think that's the bottom line. And that's why I think I'm, because like I said, I do have them somewhat organized according to company. And I thought that would work because if you're pulling, you want to pull something out, you'd say, well, I need a rainbow gallery. So I'll look through all my rainbow gallery threads to see if I can find that thread. And I can, you can kind of do that if they're all in one container.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to change colors and the way I stitch, that hadn't worked for me. And I think I'm going to move to, in fact, my daughter for me at one point in time got very disgusted with the way my cry neck was stored. She's a little more organized than I am. And she put it all in, all the colors in their own bags. So you know how cry neck comes in a trillion different weights.
Yeah.
And so she put all the reds in a bag and then all the blues in a bag. And so that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I just pull out that blue bag. And I'm like, look, I think I have the color I need in there. And I have it in ribbon number 8 and number 4. So I can do a lot of stuff with
Yeah.
this.
So you can pull out all the blues and yeah, whatever you have. So that's pretty straightforward, yeah.
Right,
The
right.
trick is to do it with all the threads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm, yeah. Now you got me thinking, that might be my 100-day
Yeah,
challenge.
well, it'd definitely fill 100 days. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've solved nothing. I
It sounds like you're going to do the 100-day project.
I am going to do it. I think I am going to do it. And I think I'm going to do it with the a stream of consciousness stitching to
Okay.
develop some embroidery skills. I think I am.
All right.
I can see my way to doing that. When does this start?
January 31st.
Okay. Odd day to start, but all right.
There was a reason for that, but I don't
I'm
remember
sure there
what
is, yeah. Okay, I could be set up for that. But I think
All
I
right.
yeah, I think that's what I'm gonna do, and I think it's just gonna be that, yeah.
All right. Are you going to make a hashtag? We should do
Sure.
something.
Sure.
I have to think about that. We'll think of a fiber talk hashtag.
Yeah, there we go, yeah. Well, we could just do FT 100 day.
That's it.
There we go. Okay.
But it should be 2021 because you're going to do it next year too, right?
Am
Yeah. 100 day 2021. Because you
Okay.
got to, it's easier to find.
Okay, FT. Yeah, I better write this down.
100
So
day
FT 100, the number 100 day
2021.
2021. Because I'm going to be doing it again next year, says Beth. All right.
Sorry.
Okay. FT 100 day 2021. Okay. Starts on the
And
31st.
yes, and we'll see if we can get Jennifer to do something. Although she'll be finished.
I know. She'll do
She'll
the 100 day in 62 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 'cause she's Jennifer.
That's right. And she's twice as fun.
That's right. That's the word on the yeah. Okay. There we have it. All right, so Sunday, Jennifer Clouston, not Jennifer Kopasz-Roos, but Jennifer Clouston talking more about this and crazy quilting, and she was fascinating. That was really great. Tonight is Jennifer finishing the Biscornu. So come watch that. That'll be fun.
We could show.
That's all we got. Thanks.
All right, have a good day.
Thanks for listening. Bye.